Several letters from Assurbanipal note his interest in collecting tablets. So he told an official that he should seek out certain men in the city, and they should seek out all of the tablets, those in their houses, and all those that are deposited in the temple. Hunt for the valuable tablets, which do not exist in Assyria, and send them to me. No one shall withhold a tablet from you. Now, if you think of all of the records in temples that we've discussed in this course, all of those long ration lists, I'm sure that Assurbanipal got a lot of irrelevant information in these shipments of tablets that were sent to him. But what he would have considered valuable would have been these scientific records and also literary compositions. The collection from Nineveh is the largest single collection of tablets from Mesopotamia. It preserved the most complete version of the Gilgamesh epic, for example, that we discussed right at the beginning of the course. A colophon, which often gives the first line of a poem or a letter or some way of identifying the text, was added to many of the manuscripts that scribes copied for this library in Nineveh. So not only would Assurbanipal demand that his officials send him texts, but he had his scribes rewrite them. Some of these noted that the texts had been collected by Assurbanipal, but others were lengthier. One long colophon is addressed to the Assyrian god Nabu and states, "I, Assurbanipal, king of the universe, king of Assyria, on whom the gods have bestowed vast intelligence, who acquired penetrating acumen for the most recondite details of scholarly erudition, no predecessors of whom among having any comprehension of such matters. I placed the tablets for the future in the library, for the well-being of my soul, to avoid disease, and to sustain the foundations of my royal house. When this work is deposited in your, in Nabu's house, look upon it and remember me with favor." So this colophon explicitly sets out that Assurbanipal wanted to use the information in the tablets for his own health. So that's why he would be interested in the medical texts, his prosperity. Presumably the omen lists would be especially useful for this. And Assurbanipal is also interested in giving these this information, this evidence to future rulers. So just as Hammurabi is trying to create a legacy in which he's remembered for justice, Assurbanipal is focused on scientific thought and what he can give to future kings that they can use as a reference to help them rule better. It's a very interesting shift and seems to be specific to Assurbanipal. He also, I'm sure you also noted that he is very proud of his intelligence. And like the Ur III ruler Shulgi, Assurbanipal was one of the few literate kings. So something to look forward to as we move towards the Assyrian Empire. In the next lecture, we will examine the literature that, together with science, was essential to the knowledge that Assurbanipal and other rulers collected. We've discussed certain types of literature, specifically royal inscriptions, law codes, also inscriptions that record military events, and even diplomatic letters. So I think you've gotten a sense of some of the literature that has been preserved, but we will take a look at many other types of literature that give us more insight into daily life or poems that would have been especially favored by the Mesopotamians. They might explain the creation of the world. They might tell humorous stories. So all of this gives us a sense of the richness of Sumerian literature that has survived.